This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, and to my right, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi, we are coming to you from Maple Lane's countryside. It is our Toys for Tots extension. Good morning, Clearwater, if you were listening a little earlier, has been sponsoring Toys for Tots. So we are set up here, Maple Lane's countryside. A lot of bowling going on, by the way. And we're going to be talking about Toys for Tots throughout the show and how you can donate and all that kind of thing. But we got other things to talk about as well on this Friday, December the 10th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes, by the way, with Anatol Levin of the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk about, you know, that call, that phone call, that, I guess you call it the virtual phone call between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. We're going to talk about that phone call. We're going to talk about whether or not Russia is preparing to invade the Ukraine. That's a biggie. And Anatol has some specific background, so it'll be a very interesting conversation. Also, we're going to talk about inflation. It has hit a 39-year high here in the United States. A 39-year high. Meantime, other things going on. We're going to talk about the Hispanic vote, believe it or not, is now trending Republican. Indeed, we're going to get some thoughts on both of those things and other things through the course of the show with our master barber, Andrew Ceresi, who is here with us. And we have an ultimate top 10, if we can get it in, Ed. We're going to be the top 10 highest paid coaches.
Oh,
I want to see if you know. Maybe you already know.
So are we talking
in
pros?
In the NFL.
In the NFL. Okay.
I meant in the NFL.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I know you'll have
Well, you know, that's about to shift anyway. There's going to be a major shift. No.
Yeah.
College coaches are getting way more than NFL coaches, and that's going to shift this year.
I just noticed that unbelievable salary that the coach that left Notre Dame and went to LSU is getting.
And the new coach in Miami, same thing. Yeah.
It was like a $25 million deal.
Things are going to change.
Wow. Well, anyway, so we'll have a very good top 10. Lots of things going on. I mentioned that the Master Barber is with us, and he's going to be able to talk with us right now, as a matter of fact. And Andrew, thank you very much for being here. I want to say that Andrew has made personally some donations to Toys for Tots because he's such a good-hearted, kind soul. So we always appreciate and salute him for that. But how are you doing, my friend?
Paul, I'm living the dream every day. You know that.
I know you are.
I love the way everything's going. And you were talking about the inflation. What was it? What did you say? A 39-year high?
39-year high.
Listen, the Democrats, yes. When they do something, they do it right. Yeah. They're going for the gusto. They're going for 50 years ago.
This is unbelievable. Let me bring this story up right now. Consumer prices have surged at the fastest pace in nearly four decades. Last month, November, as Americans paid more for practically everything, gasoline, groceries, Christmas gifts, you name it, the consumer price index rose 6.8% in November from a year ago. That's scary. And I mean, we've got 20% hikes in things.
Well, Paul, it's like I was saying earlier. I donated some money to the Toys for Tots, you know, and
a couple of bikes.
And a couple of bikes, yeah. But I said the money I'm giving them is worth 50% less. So it's a $100 bill, but just make believe it's a 50 now.
I tell you, that's what I know. You're exactly right.
And chicken wings. I keep bringing up chicken wings, yeah, Paul.
You know, you've been talking about that. You're right. And Ed and I have been talking. You know, chicken wings is the perfect example.
But I
what is going on right now with the cost of
Paul,
food.
I told him the solution for the chicken wings earlier, but I'll let you know what it is. I talked to Dr. Fauci last night.
Oh, you did?
And he's getting in touch with the Hunan lab, and we're going to try and genetically modify the chicken so they got six wings instead of two.
Can we?
And we're going to try to bring the price down.
And larger wings.
But larger.
We're gonna do a gain of function on chickens. Is that what you're talking about?
If you're gonna do it, do it right. You know, get them bigger, larger. Have them out there pumping iron.
You don't want to mess around with a chicken that's been pumping iron.
No, no. They're
nothing
very dangerous. The meat won't be tender.
They're very dangerous. Anyway, as I mentioned, I mean, first of all, we're moving into Christmas, and we got this problem with the cost of living. And as I said, the consumer price index went up almost 7%, according to the Labor Department. In the meantime, the stock market continues to do all right, which I guess is a blessing. We've got this concern with, of course, this new strain of the virus. I'm getting the impression that the stock market is saying we are now kind of used to dealing with these things, and in a way, maybe America is adjusting. Andrew, do you feel that way, or what do you think?
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, Paul, I'm changing all my investments. The stock market makes me a little bit nervous, so I've been investing in toilet paper.
Well, you know, we always going to have to need that, but people always, that's the first thing to go in when people panic.
Well, it's got to be a good reason for that one, huh?
I think so.
Because first you say it, then you do it.
Not only that, it's the first product that's gone in a grocery store. Have you ever noticed? It's always the one that you worry about.
Hey, how do you think Bob Dole feels laying in that coffin over there right now with all the Democrats around him?
He's scratching at the
surface. You know, he's got to feel something with all them around him.
I don't know. I suppose, you know, that's true.
Poor guy's doing flip-flops in his coffin.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we talked about Bob Dole on our last show, a true patriot, 98 years old, served in World War II, came home with all of those wounds, and rose to become a senator from Kansas. Three times he ran for president. You know, just an amazing
man. It's amazing. Look at what he went through to get into politics and what he has done. And then you take a look at AOC. I mean, she had it. She had a lot of experience bartending to find out what was going on with politics before she became
a
congresswoman.
She listened to a lot of stories. That's right. Now she tells them.
But you gotta admit, I think, I forget who said this, but if you want to really know what life is like, talk to a barber, a cab driver, or a bartender. And you happen to be a barber, and you can
that's where we came up with the barber pole, if you remember. What, about
he's
five,
a barber?
Six?
I was going to his place for a drink.
So you go to a barber shop, you get loaded.
Yeah. My bartender's a great hair guy, so you know.
That's true. A bartender, what if a guy does all three? You know, yeah. Then he really knows
multi-talented.
What's going on in the world.
Multi-talented.
Indeed. Indeed. So the other thing I wanted to talk about with you, Andrew, is this no let up with the polling for Joe Biden.
No, he's rocking the house right now. I think he's 26%.
I tell you what, there's a new poll out. This is NPR Marist. Now, you know the NPR is National Public Radio, so you know that they're liberal. And if anything, they're going to give the benefit of the doubt, right? The president stands at 43% approval with them and 51% disapproval in an NPR poll. Now, we've got all kinds of polls going on. The Wall Street Journal poll had him at 41% with 57% disapproval. So, well, I mean, and we've got some as low as the high 30s.
I can tell you the Barber poll has him at about a 16% approval.
1-6, not 6-0.
And believe me, I take the poll every day.
I'm surprised you give him double digits, 16%.
We're trying to be nice and optimistic.
We are going to, all right, thank you, Andrew. We're going to take a break here, here from Maple Lane's Countryside. We're going to take a few commercials for you. When we come back, delighted to tell you that we're going to be talking with Anatole Lieben from the Quincy Institute. We're going to be talking about the Biden-Putin-Ukraine talks.
All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, tweet.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, we are broadcasting from, and this is really a wonderful bowling alley. It's Maple Lanes Countryside. If you have not been to Maple Lanes Countryside, I mean, it is really busy here, Ed. Almost every lane, it looks like, is being used. Almost, or a goodly number of them. But it's a great experience.
Yeah, we
had got about 30 lanes here.
We had the general manager on earlier, and she said that they have fully bounced back from pre-pandemic numbers, so they're doing very well.
That is wonderful news.
So just to even survive what has gone on is a feather in your cap.
It really is.
You know.
But aside from all of that, this is really a great place. It's got a restaurant. It's got everything that you would want.
It's got a bar right behind you.
Got a bar, which
nice
we will
and close.
Be attending. Yes. So, I mean, it's beautiful. And we want to salute Maple Lanes and thank them, by the way, for conducting the Toys for Tots, which is going on right now, by the way. And if you come over to Maple Lanes, you can make a contribution. Are they extending that deal that they get a certain thing if they make a contribution?
I don't know. I'll check with Paul.
We'll have to check with Paul.
I think the donuts are gone. I'll tell you that.
Donuts and coffee? Okay.
I think donuts are gone.
Anyway. We are delighted to have Anatol Abiyevin join us. He is a senior research fellow. He specializes in Russia and European goings-on for the Quincy Institute. And Anatol is here to talk a little bit about the Biden-Putin talks that focused on Ukraine. Anatol, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hello.
A real delight to have you. And, of course, the other day we had Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin on one of those, what do you call it, virtual phone calls, I guess is what it's called. And I'm still not sure, and I want to ask you right out of the gate, Anatol, did we find out exactly what they talked about, or are we just getting sort of the administration version on the phone call?
I think we've got a pretty good idea what they talked about. You know, Putin laid down again, you know, what he and what the Russian establishment, you know, think are their key problems with Ukraine, and you know, which are obviously moves towards alliance with the West and the United States, moves to reduce the status of the Russian language in Ukraine, and set out, you know, Russia's desire that eastern Ukraine should have autonomy under international guarantees. Putin did not say, you know, the Russians deny that they are threatening to invade Ukraine, but of course they've shown that they are making that threat, though I'm still not sure it's really serious. And Biden reiterated that, you know, Russia would suffer tremendous economic sanctions and damage did that. And suggested that.
I'm not sure. I'm losing a little bit of that.
I think his phone is cutting out a bit.
Oh, okay. Amos, well, I hope you're still with us. I think I got just. Oh, good. I can hear you again. You were cutting out just a little bit. And we're at a bowling alley. So, by the way, I want to thank you for putting up with that. But I want to ask you this, because you say this, that Russia and Putin have really not made up their mind on whether or not to invade the Ukraine. But Putin is determined to prevent the Ukraine from becoming a military ally of the West. I suspect what you mean also by that is that he does not want the Ukraine to become a part of NATO. Is that correct?
That's right. But the Russians are afraid, you see, that Ukraine might become a kind of U.S. ally with U.S. bases without being a member of NATO, because almost certainly, you know, the French and Germans will veto Ukraine becoming a member of NATO, but, you know, there are other ways of Ukraine becoming a U.S. ally.
Right. So, tell us a little bit about, first of all, what are some of the other ways? If they don't join NATO, they're not going to be really protected as in the protection that a NATO country would get. As an example, if Russia was trying to invade, say, Poland or France or something like that. Now, part of NATO isn't an attack on one country, an attack on all of them?
Well, that's it. And of course, you know, Russia has no intention of attacking NATO. But the problem is, of course, that the United States not merely has no intention of fighting to defend Ukraine, it actually can't without massively increasing U.S. forces in Europe. I mean, at the moment, the United States only has four brigades in Europe. But, you know, to do that while simultaneously containing China would place, you know, huge new military burdens on the U.S. It would require greatly increased military spending. And, of course, it would risk provoking the Russians to strike first before U.S. forces were built up. Now, if there is a war, God forbid, between the United States and Russia, then China would certainly take advantage of that in the Far East. So America is facing, you know, some difficult dilemmas here, which is, you know, why the Biden administration wants to try to restart a diplomatic negotiating process.
Right. Now, do you think Biden's doing, the administration is going about it the right way? Are they, as an example, are they dangling the prospect that that pipeline between Russia and Germany might be affected?
Absolutely. The threat that the Nord Stream pipeline will be abandoned, you know, is a major disincentive to Russia to invade Ukraine. As are economic sanctions, Biden has reiterated, as is the prospect that, you know, if Russia does invade Ukraine, I mean, it's quite true the Russians, the Europeans would still be dependent on Russian gas for a considerable time to come, but they would really, really start making serious efforts to move away from that. And that would force Russia into the arms of China. China would be their last remaining market. Now, that would not be good for the West, of course, but it would also be very bad for Russia. The Russians don't want to become just, you know, dependencies of the Chinese. So, you know, we've got major leverage to prevent Russia doing anything really aggressive or reckless. But there needs to be talks as well.
We're talking with Anatole Lievin, who is a senior research fellow on Russia and European affairs for the Quincy Institute, and he's been kind enough to come on. We are here, Anatole, as you probably know by now, in the bowling alley because we're doing a Toys for Tots Christmas program. So thank you so very much for coming on and talking with us during all of that. I want to ask you this. If Donald Trump were president, do you think that Putin would amass troops on the Ukrainian border the way he has done?
I'm not sure, you know, that it makes that the difference in administrations makes much difference, because Trump, he may have had a better personal relationship with Putin, but the Trump administration did not change any U.S. policy. It continued to offer the prospect of NATO membership for Ukraine. It continued to express support for Ukraine, to give military aid to Ukraine. So I think, you know, there are deeper issues here that go beyond, you know, who's in the White House. And they go back. By the way, they also go beyond the fact that Putin is president of Russia. I mean, the whole Russian establishment. Russia has a blob, just like the United States does, and they are absolutely, all of them, determined that Ukraine should not become an American ally, just as, you know, the whole U.S. establishment is determined that, you know, Mexico and Central America shouldn't become allies of any enemy of the United States. You know, if you don't believe that, you better, you know, resign your job in Washington.
Right. I mean, you know, the United States has really got some, I guess, some dangerous things going on. We've got, obviously, with China and Taiwan and the prospect that, you know, China wants to take back Taiwan. And, you know, it's kind of similar with Russia and the Ukraine. Russia has always thought that the Ukraine should be part of Russia. They've got the Crimea Peninsula situation going on. And yet Ukraine has never really wanted to be a part of Russia, you know, the rest of it. So this is very, very dangerous. Do you think, and of course we don't know for sure, but do you think we're going to be able to slow down the tension with this Ukrainian situation? Do you think it's working its way to a better situation rather than heating up?
Well, I mean, there is a political process which has been in place since 2015. It's called the Minsk II Agreement, you know, which provides for a guaranteed autonomy for eastern Ukraine. The problem, and the United States continues to support that, by the way, but the problem is that a lot of the details were left vague. The Russian separatists are, you know, refusing, you know, are setting unacceptable demands. But of course, if Russia told them to shut up and agree, they would shut up and agree. But the Ukrainians have also refused, actually, to, you know, implement basic aspects of the Minsk Agreement on promising, you know, autonomy to eastern Ukraine if the Russians withdraw. And America has not brought any pressure to bear on Ukraine for them to agree, because America's afraid that if they do that, the Ukrainian government will collapse in the face of nationalist protest. So the political process is there, but it's got stuck, and Biden is offering to Putin to restart that process, but Putin will expect Biden to do something concrete. So, of course, Biden is expecting Putin to pull back his troops, and Putin is expecting Biden, you know, actually to do something to restart the Minsk process. And we'll have to see what happens.
Besides the oil situation, what can the United States do to make Putin think twice? I mean, economically, can we screw around with the bank? Not screw around, but get involved with the banking situation in the world situation with banking in Russia?
Yeah, I mean that's one of the key disincentives, because, you know, Putin may reckon that a war in Ukraine would give him a short term, you know, political patriotic boost at home. But, you know, in the longer term, if the West introduced really severe economic sanctions, you know, living standards go down, inflation goes up, maybe Russians find it more difficult to travel abroad. You know, then, you know, the Putin administration's already becoming more and more unpopular because of the corruption and economic stagnation. So, you know, economic sanctions are a real deterrent for Russia, and emphasizing them, and above all, of course, also getting the America's European allies to emphasize the consequences for Russia if they invade, that does have a real effect. I mean, I know it does, because in private the Russians acknowledge this.
Anatole, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. This is such an important and fragile situation right now that is going on. And I hope that we'll be able to talk a little bit further down the road on this as well. Thank you so much for coming on.
That'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Anatole Yevhen. And again, we thank you for coming on. I don't know if you can hear the background noise here and with all of the bowling, I guess we hear it more than the people listening to us, right?
Yeah, I heard a couple of strikes out there myself.
There are a lot of strikes.
A couple of gutter balls.
A few gutter balls, yeah. That's what it's all about. All right, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, I think we might have a little surprise in store for you. We might be able to get our friend Ed Golly from the Voice of Reason to join us. He doesn't even know we're going to ask him. Let's find out if we can do that. Plus, we're going to be talking with Andrew the Master Barber. Won't that be fun? This is the, by the way, this is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, again, Freedom Works coming to you from the, I used to call it the Countryside Lanes, but it's Maple Lanes Countryside. It is on Highway US 19, just near Republic Drive, just a little bit north of State Road 580. So come on over. We got the Toys for Tots program going on. And if you want a bowl, plenty of lanes available. It's a great place to be, I must tell you.
Good thing we didn't decide to do that at the gun range.
I'm just thinking about that. There'd be a few bullets whizzing my way. You know?
Well, tell them who we've got sitting here with us.
Now, yes. Speaking of bullets whizzing my way, we got Ed Golly. Those of you that listen to Tantalk on a regular basis know that he is a co-host of the Voice of Reason, which is on from 10 to 11 a.m. every Thursday morning on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ed, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Have been on each other's shows. And don't have to tell you, if you are regular listeners, that Ed and I don't always agree on every political thing, but it's always fun to talk with him. Ed, welcome.
And we just want Ed to know that this time last year to sit in that seat was free, but because of supply demands and all that stuff, and inflation is now $10 an hour.
Check.
Hey, Ed,
like
what are
paying we... Bitcoin.
So,
yeah, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah. Now that is a topic, Bitcoin, and whether or not it's going to survive. You know, I hear great things about Bitcoin, and then I hear things about, oh my God, don't, you know, steer clear of it. You have any thought on that, Ed, at all?
I don't either.
I don't even know how it works, to tell you the truth.
I don't either.
I'm one of those guys that has one credit card and still writes checks.
Exactly. You know? On that, we are similar. I do the same thing. I have one credit card.
That's it.
I'm a simple guy, you know.
I got one, but my wife's got about 30.
Yeah, that's what I can imagine. So we got Andrew the Master Barber. We got Ed Golly. We got Paul Molloy sitting here. We could talk about a million different things.
Well, I'll tell you, I hear you guys running down electric cars all the time.
Oh,
I think you ought to, you really
right
need to rethink
box.
That. It doesn't take 2 hours to charge them. And they are incredible vehicles,
yeah,
because there's no moving parts in them except the wheels. It's
just
unbelievable. You can't even see the motors in these cars.
You know what makes me a little nervous about them, though? You know, being from Rochester, New York, I was stranded in a car one night overnight on a thruway in a snowstorm. And I was fortunate enough that I had a full tank of gas to keep warm. Now, what happens if you're on one of these Batmobiles and you run out of juice or your batteries are getting low and it's 30 below zero and you ain't moving?
Well, the same thing if you run low on fuel, right? If you run out of gasoline, you'd have had the same problem.
But they have
seat warmers in them. And so they're
But they say that the batteries in these normal batteries lose 40% of their energy when the temperature is below 40 degrees.
Oh, is that
degrees.
Right?
Yeah,
well, see, in Florida, that's not a factor, right?
So
but I don't know what
south of the Mason-Dixon line is okay.
Right.
If you're above the Mason-Dixon line, you can't. Okay.
But you know what? The range and the amount of energy they can hold is going up all the time. And because these guys are always looking for some way to make them better and charge faster, right?
They're going to get better. So
yeah,
they are.
I mean, it's just like the first filament Edison used didn't work, right?
I think that the day of the electric vehicle is definitely coming.
Yeah.
Here is my thought on it. I would rather see the free market. It will bring the electric car to us so much better. It'll be here quicker. I don't like whatever you want to call the hand of the government in there trying to manipulate the free market on this. We will be moving towards more energy-powered vehicles, I think, without a doubt. I would leave all of that in the free market. Remember Obama with, what was that company?
Solyndra.
Solyndra.
And it bombed.
And it's a perfect example of what happens when you get the heavy-handed
Who bailed out General Motors?
They shouldn't have bailed out General Motors.
But they paid it back. And think how many jobs we have now. American jobs that you guys are always saying we need, and we do. But that's how government helped us. It bailed them
government
out.
Government never helps.
We're losing the electric car thing. But let me just say this about the government getting involved in the private market. I don't care if it's automobiles or food or electric vehicles or health care or education. Every time the federal government gets involved, it makes it more expensive and less, I would use the word efficient, but with education, it dumbs it down.
It seems like everything the government touches seems to turn to poop.
But it's not.
Period.
It is not the federal government's job to stick its hand in the private sector and try to run things. And that includes healthcare, education, electric cars, or anything else where the... Now, if there is a problem in the free market because of somebody cheating the other person in that industry, that's why we have the courts. That's why we have the courts. But other than that, why can't we leave it in the free market?
Well, my answer is because I would take you back 90 years to what happened out west when the farmers created the Dust Bowl out there because they over-farmed, they overproduced wheat, the price plunged, and the next thing you know, they had a Dust Bowl where they couldn't grow anything, and those farmers damn near died of starvation until the government came in, first of all, gave them welfare to keep them alive, and second of all, use the government to control production so that the price is stable. You're not paying $7 for a loaf of bread 1 year and 30 cents for it the next, because then the farmers have a stable income and all that production of our food then is relatively stable. And it takes the government to do that, because we saw what happened when we let the free market work. It failed
completely. Well, I would suggest to you that it's not the federal government's job, even in the Dust Bowl, to come in and start manipulating things. It didn't help the Dust Bowl situation. All kinds of people suffered in that thing, despite the federal government. I would suggest that perhaps the states where the Dust Bowl occurred and those governors were the ones that might take control of that situation, or at least be allowed to take control of it,
then
than the federal government. Yes.
You agree with me that Trump should have implemented the tariffs on Chinese imports, right?
Well, you're talking about another country. I'm talking about within the country.
No,
the
but what
States.
Happened when the Chinese stopped buying our soybeans? We had to spend $12 billion to subsidize the farmers who all of a sudden were losing a major market.
I don't think we should be subsidizing our farming at all. ever.
We wouldn't have needed to if there weren't
any subsidize our farmers at all. And you know what? You manipulate prices, right? You're going to manipulate the prices?
No, it's stabilizing them. That's why they do it, Paul. They did it to stabilize the price. That's why farmers are paid not to farm fields, right?
They should not be paid not to farm. We should not be spending taxpayers' money telling farmers what they can and cannot. This is a perfect example of getting away from the free market. What you're talking about? You're talking about having the government now, a handful of bureaucrats in the government, decide what products should the farmer be growing and which products should he not be growing. No, I don't think so.
I do, because I don't lack the confidence in government that you do. I think they get competent people in there.
How about confidence in the people themselves, the farmers? They know what to do. They know what to grow.
They proved that they didn't when they created the Dust Bowl.
That's why that happened.
They over-farmed.
The farmers know less than the people in Washington about farming.
Yes. You know what? You're going back 100 years, what you're talking
about. I know we
are.
That's true.
Let's be real. Today, they got technology. The farmer's a little bit different. They don't have a horse pulling the plow.
True.
You know, farming today is completely different. The technology that they use and everything else. It's a whole nother world.
Well, it's even more than that, Andrew. It's the farming has become big corporations, conglomerates, instead of these guys working 40-acre farms. Yeah.
No question about it.
I want to just let everybody know that we're delighted to have Ed Golly with us. Ed Golly from the Voice of Reason. By the way, you should listen to the show.
He is a brave man. I got to say that. He is brave.
No. He does a great show every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. You have the same time slot. That I have, except on different days. So,
which is not a coincidence, by the way.
No, it's not.
I know you guys call it the Voice of Treason, but
no,
we don't
do that, do we?
Remember,
I have never said that.
You guys started that. Yes, you did. You said something like the Voice of Treason.
I know what everybody's saying. It's not too hard.
I told you he calls it the Voice of No Reason.
I never said that.
No, Andrew.
Okay. Well, you know what? We disagree, but we have a good time. We enjoy doing our respective program. We've been on each other's shows. And I want to ask you, if I might add, we're going to come into a break, but maybe we can start it up. Why are Democrats still focusing on Donald Trump? He has been out of office now for how long? And they still want to bring back Donald Trump. Is it because they're not secure enough in what Biden is doing that they got to continue to throw Donald Trump's name up?
Well, I think it's because they sense he's going to run again.
Yeah.
And that the way these different conservative Republican states are manipulating their laws, they're going to be able to direct the electoral votes wherever they want without regard to the popular vote in their states. So there's a very good chance he's going to be back in the White House.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? You just made my Christmas by telling me that. When a Democrat sits there and admits Trump is back, I love it.
Unless, of course, he's behind bars first for what he did on January 6th.
No, anybody should be behind bars. It should be Hunter Biden, his father. Let's talk about his art all of a sudden. How is this guy getting more money than Van Gogh ever got for his paintings? What's that about?
Is it much different than Ivanka Trump getting all those Chinese patents? I mean, they're all doing it, right?
I guess we all got to make money, huh?
Not that much.
We need to make more of it today because my money's only worth half of what it was yesterday.
Well, getting back to the focus on Donald Trump, not just what he, if he might run again, don't you get the impression, Ed, that maybe the Democrats are a little bit worried about maybe the progress of what Joe Biden has done coming up on his first full year as president? Well, I mean, what if you were to point to the things that have been accomplished under the Joe Biden administration, what would you bring up?
I think the most significant thing he's done is recognize the climate change issue and move us ahead toward the green energy, because we need to do that. We need to get
back involved with
the Paris Climate Accord. We need to help other countries that are burning a lot of coal. To me, a dollar is better spent helping India develop clean energy than building a bomb to drop on Iran, and would stand us better in the world. We make allies instead of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the most important thing. I do like the infrastructure bill, which is, I understand that Trump wanted to do that, and his predecessor wanted to do that, but Congress blocked it. So
he got the infrastructure bill.
Because, come on,
right?
You know, we got to take care of the country. We can't just let it fall apart. Remember when that interstate bridge collapsed in, what was it, Minnesota or something? A few years ago, the whole bridge just fell apart. That's just from lack of maintenance.
Okay.
We've got to take care of the country.
I like the infrastructure bill, but it's not all about infrastructure. That's what gets me nervous. What does it got to do with child care?
They wanted to pack all kinds of things into the infrastructure. But we're going to take a break. And Ed, can you stay?
Sure.
We're going to take our break. We'll have Ed Gawley continue to talk with us. We have a real opportunity here, along with Andrew the Master Barber, and, of course, my buddy Big Ed. We're all here, all at the Maple Lanes Countryside, and we will be back. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, we are here, not necessarily here, but we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. I am Paul Malloy, along with Big Ed. We are joined, by the way, today with Andrew the Master Barber and Ed Gawley from the Voice of Reason. How can you go wrong with all of those things, right? So
the one on the end.
Oh, Ed. Oh. Ed's volume. Okay, that's
Andrew. There you go.
That's Andrew, and this is yours, Ed. I'll tell you what, Ed. Can you hear? Okay. Is that good? All right. We're adjusting Ed's volume so he can hear us a little bit better. Anyway, and how's your...
Say something. You're live.
All right. Can you hear us?
Yes.
So, here we are, and we're delighted to... this is the final segment of Freedom Works. We're going to be doing our top 10 in a little bit, but as I said, Ed Gawley, along with Andrew the Master Barber, is with us. And we were talking about the infrastructure bill, Ed, and the fact that I think Andrew mentioned that a lot of extra things were tossed into that. Do you agree that maybe they tried to stuff too many things into the infrastructure bill?
Probably, yeah. I haven't really studied what's in it that much because there's so many things it takes too long to read them all.
That's true. 5,000
pages. Sound like the rest of the Democrats on the Hill. I haven't read it. It's too long.
It's too damn long.
Nobody read it.
I know.
Actually, nobody that voted on it read. See, that's another problem.
Yeah.
Why
is it a problem if they just print the money? In fact, I don't even understand why they print the money. Nobody uses cash anymore, right? Everybody uses a credit card.
And you're right about printing money. That's another issue.
We're off the gold standard.
We are off the gold standard. We print money. I'm surprised it still has any value. I'm beginning to worry about that.
I am too.
Yeah.
But both parties do it, right?
There's no question about it.
Republicans didn't rein in spending.
No.
So
Donald Trump is a big time spender. That's not one of his priorities. I would agree with you on that.
And the worst part is he had the power because he has such control over the party. He could have told the senators, if you know, unless you give me a bill that's, I mean, a spending bill that is, and a budget that's balanced, I'm not going to sign it, and I'm going to see to it that you're primaried out. I think he didn't realize how much power he had, and then he just kind of forgot about it and ends up signing budgets that are $1 trillion of red ink. So, you know, where was his commitment to that?
Yeah. I want to ask you, Ed, in the 2024 presidential election, do you think, A, Joe Biden is going to run again? B, if he is not, who do you think may run? And C, who would you like to see run for the Democratic presidential nomination?
Pee Wee Herman, I think, would be.
Pee Wee Herman, that's a very thoughtful
answer. What about the
answer.
Mayor? I think you were speculating about that, of New York, that whose term is just
De Blasio?
Ending.
Oh, God.
But he's running for New York governor.
he's going to run for governor.
He's running for governor of New York.
Yes.
But
he's not going to.
You don't think he wants to get into national politics?
I think he does.
Yeah, so.
But do you think. Do you think that de Blasio is a bona fide candidate to run?
No.
Well, I mean, if he's liked by the party, he could be. But
apparently
but
he's not liked by anybody right now.
What I think is whoever it's going to end up being probably isn't in the public limelight right now. It may probably be some governor or some senator that isn't drawing a lot of attention.
I think
come out.
What is it, Buttigieg?
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
That'd be the perfect one.
His rubber booby.
Yeah, I think he couldn't get through the primary. I know Harris couldn't. And in answer to your first question, no, I think Biden will not run. I think he's just too old. And you know how much stress that job is and how it ages people.
It
well,
does.
He's already old, and now he's going to age more. So I know he says he's going to run again.
Well, I think he has to say that. I mean, who's going to come out? I mean, he's not even been in office a year, and it feels like 10 years.
He doesn't want to identify himself as a lame duck. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's not going to come out with 3 years left on the ticket and say, I'm done.
Right.
He's not going to run.
But I think Kamala Harris would be the first one out of the primary again.
You know,
like
I wonder what's the bigger regret from the Democrats right now. One, whether they chose Biden to run for president, or B, that they chose Kamala Harris to be vice president. Which was the biggest boo-boo?
I think the latter.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, and we've got a long time to go. I mean, 2024, we're still in 2021.
Yeah.
So we got a long time to go, and things can change. And God knows events will change. So we don't know where we will be at that point. I want to thank you, Ed, for coming on and taking some of these questions and talking with us. It's very, very good of you to do so. And again, I'm going to put in a plug for The Voice of Reason. Make sure you listen to it. Very interesting show. Every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah. See, it was painless. Nobody got hurt.
No.
Nobody bled.
No.
We respond to the alternative facts.
Isn't this?
Alternative facts. Yeah, there we go. Well, we don't mind having your alternative facts every once in a while, because we can kind of feast on them. But that's
it
all right.
It gives us something to laugh at.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, sure.
And I want to thank Andrew, the Master Barber. Andrew, thank you so very much for being with us. And again, the Toys for Tots and the things that you have done, the contributions you have made to Toys for Tots. You're just a great guy. It's always, I'm honored to have you as a sponsor on our show. You're a wonderful person. Thank you very much for your time also on the show.
Well,
this morning.
It's great being here. I wouldn't miss it for anything. I don't think my ears are going to be the same the rest of the day, to be honest with you.
That serves you right for coming to a bowling alley and wanting to be on a radio show at the same time.
I don't
time.
Think I'm going to be able to hear my wife telling me things today.
What'd you expect to hear? Christmas music?
By the way, I want to mention that we have Nicole here. And this is Andrew Cerasi's wife, Nicole, who has been battling the virus. And she looks great. She's 90%. She's on her way to being completely out of that problem. So that's delightful. Okay, Ed, I don't know how we do this. With you here, I don't think we can even do a drum roll.
Yeah, Bobby's back.
Bobby can help us. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, practicing the drums.
You're going to do the
He's
drums?
He's on the drums.
Well, let me find. We got a good top 10. Let me tell you what it is. We have the top 10 highest paid NFL, National Football League head coaches. I went to this website that has them. Now, let me tell you, there were about six, Ed, there were about six coaches they couldn't get the salaries on.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that one of those six might be in this top 10, but we don't know.
Okay.
All right. So if you're ready, Bobby, here we go. Top 10 highest paid NFL coaches, number 10. Hey, man, you do it just like Ed does. That's great. We actually have a three-way tie.
Oh, jeez.
So we're calling it number 9, but there's three of them involved. So here they are. The first one is Mike Tomlin.
Okay, Steelers coach.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. You know how much? $8 million a year.
I was going to say 10. Okay.
That's close. Okay. He makes $8 million a year.
Okay.
Okay. The second of the three is Bruce Arians here in Tampa Bay.
Yes, that's about right.
Yes, indeed. He makes $8 million. Mm-hmm. You think he's underpaid?
No, because he came from out of coaching to come back into coaching.
Okay.
So he's never really won anything when he was coaching. I'm talking about a championship.
Yeah, right. Okay. And the third, number 9, is Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, yeah, they now went to the Super Bowl. Underpaid.
You
he
think
might,
so?
Doing I think they will. That's one guy that they might renegotiate.
Yeah. All right, Bobby, here we go. Number 6. Sean McVay, Los Angeles Rams. He's $8.5 million.
Okay.
Now, the Rams have been doing fairly well, although not maybe doing as well as people thought
they
might.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around him,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
they're true about that. Okay, number 7. Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers, $8.57 million.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's not working out too
no,
well.
No, it's not.
No.
You never hear about that.
No.
Okay. Number 6, John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens. He's making an even $9 million.
Yeah, it's weird. One year they love him, and then the next year they hate him.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Number 5, Kyle Shanahan, San Francisco 49ers. He makes $9.5 million.
Yeah, another one that hasn't won anything. So.
Oh, yes. It's funny that some of these people making a lot of money haven't done that much. Okay, number 4. Sean Payton, New Orleans Saints. He makes $9.8 million.
Yeah, that's worthy. He's been consistent for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's their quarterback these days?
Well, right now it's just going to be. It
was Jameis Winston for a while.
Well, Winston blew out his knee, so.
Okay, so he's not. Okay.
What's his name?
Got somebody else running the ship right now.
Oh, Simeon will be. I think Simeon is going to be quarterbacking this week.
Okay. All right, number 3. Pete Carroll, Seattle. Seattle Seahawks.
He's on his way out.
$11 million. Well, he'll go on his way out with
on
a lot of money.
Way out. Yeah.
You think he is, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 2. Wait till you hear this one. Urban Meyer of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they're paying him $12 million for what?
Right.
$12 million.
Well, they're paying him for what he did in college.
Exactly. All right. What do you think? Any idea?
Did I'm going to go with the guy that just got fired or was asked to step down. I'm going to go with John Gruden.
Ring it up, Bobby. Absolutely wrong.
Oh.
It was Bill Belichick.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. New England Patriots. He makes $12.5 million.
I thought Gruden had a bigger deal. Maybe that was 10
I
years.
I don't know. You know,
maybe it was 10 years, 100 million. So he might have been right.
Well, and he might have been one of the 6 or 7 coaches they couldn't get the salary from.
True.
That's very true.
Okay.
Everybody, we want to thank you so very much for listening to Freedom Works. We are delighted and we salute Maple Lanes Countryside for having us here. We will be back in the studio on Monday. Thank you so very much. And always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.